All right, much, much better there. I'm a little flustered this morning, Matt, because today is the first day of school of the 2024-25 school year for my 10-year-old sixth grade son. I can't believe it, Max.
That's crazy.
So, I mean, we were going to do this, like record a little earlier than what we are today. And I said, hey, first day of school, I really want to make sure he gets on the bus. All right. The bus is not far from the house. It's just down the street, but bittersweet day today for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I have not had to experience that yet. I could imagine the emotions. I think when I do have Ellie is old enough to go to school, I would imagine there's a sense of relief that comes with the first day of school. That's like, oh my goodness, a little bit of free time. But I don't know how I'll react. I'll probably miss her. I'll probably be a mess, which is kind of what it's been like for the first year and a half of her life. She's got me wrapped around her finger and she can't even really talk yet.
Of course. And it's still the same. It doesn't matter. The feelings never change. I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe it. I'm thinking, I can't believe my son's in sixth grade. Is he going to have a good day today? Please, you know, please have a great day. Come back and say you like all your teachers, all those anxieties. What do you remember about first day of school for you when you were growing up?
Interesting. What do I remember about first day of school? I don't remember a ton about the first day of school. I remember.
Were you excited for the first day? Like generally, like around this time, middle school, elementary school?
Yeah, I wasn't overly excited, but I wasn't dreading it either. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty routine oriented. So I like when I get into a routine, which is why I love this part of the year too for work. I would say I was excited. I was excited to see friends. I was excited to kind of get back into like the swing of things. You know, I was excited for like in high school. This is when high school golf season was going on. So that was always like a ton of fun with your buddies. So yeah, like there was things that I was definitely more excited about than others.
Yeah, it was always nice seeing your friends again and seeing who got all the new gear because people want to show off their new clothes the first day of school. Yeah. You know, and then of course, you know, I think it was always, we live in a different age now. Now everything, honestly, like Max and I did his schedule online. I just went through, oh, here's your schedule. Let's see this teacher, this, you know, and that's great. And it used to be you'd get something in the mail and have your schedule. You'd have to call your friends to figure out, like, are you in the same classes? Or you just figured out when you get there. Now you can kind of, now you have group messages with moms, right? Yeah. Oh, are they in this class together? Are they in that class together? And you kind of know everything before you go in. The times have changed for sure, but the feelings and the emotions don't. And I can't wait for you to wait for you to experience that someday.
So my two of my best friends growing up, they lived down the street from me, just a couple houses down, and one of them was my age and the younger brother was a couple years younger than me, and my mom and his mom met following the school bus on the first day of kindergarten together. Like they did not know each other, but they both were, you know, like super, I want to make sure that our kids get to school. So we both got on the school bus and they both followed the school bus there. And they like got to the parking lot and they're like, did you follow that school bus from where we live? And they were like, yeah. And then they got to meet and then eventually we became friends. And yeah, those have been my two of my best friends my entire life. So it's funny how things work out.
That's a great story. Make sure that school bus driver's driving and stopping at all the stop signs and doing everything they're supposed to do. Well, we thank you for joining us. Listen, I mean, if there's ever, what do we always say? At the end of the summer, what represents the end of summer in Buffalo? Training camp for the Bills, the Erie County Fair. Kids are back at school now. I mean, summer's over. I know calendar-wise it's not, but here we go. And we are coming at you on the very first day of the start of the NFL regular season 2024. It's the Ravens and the Chiefs getting after it on Thursday night. And then you have a game in Brazil on Friday night between the Packers and Eagles. And of course, the Buffalo Bills take on the Arizona Cardinals on Sunday afternoon, 1 p.m. in Orchard Park and Highmark Stadium. Sal Capaccio, Matt Bove, it's always game day in Buffalo. Thanks for being with us. And we're really hoping that everybody not only stays with us all year, and we thank you for being aboard with us, but spread the word about it. You can find us wherever you podcast. It doesn't matter, on all audio platforms, especially the Odyssey app, WGR Sports Radio 550 On Demand, whatever it is, you can find us anywhere. But of course, on the video side too, Sal Sports is the YouTube channel. Make sure you subscribe. All right, Matt, let's get into what we heard and saw at the Buffalo Bills facility on Wednesday, the first real day of practice leading into Sunday's first contest against the Arizona Cardinals. As I've been saying, reach behind me, pat myself on the back here. As I've been saying to people for weeks, don't stress the injuries too much. The Bills always play the long game. They always make sure that they're doing right by making sure guys are ready for week one. Now, it's not ideal to have five guys on the injury report, but three of them are full participants. One is a backup quarterback who is limited and he's trending in the right direction. It seems like only one player on the active roster did not practice, defensive end Javon Solomon on Wednesday with an oblique injury. Otherwise, Matt, it's a pretty clean injury report.
Yeah, I really liked Javon Solomon over the course of the summer, but there was also a chance that he was going to be like an inactive game day guy, at least for the first couple months or couple weeks of the season. So his injury certainly stinks from a development standpoint, but I don't think it's a massive loss for specifically this game. To me, the two big ones, of course, are Curtis Samuel and MVS. I think having those guys potentially be available for Sunday is huge. I think that because they don't have a true number one receiver, they need to have as many options as humanly possible and guys that can do specific things. I think Curtis Samuel might actually lead the Bills in targets this year from a wide receiver. I think it's going to be Dalton Kincaid from a tight end standpoint and overall team. Curtis Samuel, I think, has got a good chance to get the most touches of anybody else. So that's why I think he's obviously very important. And MVS is not a player who I think the Bills are going to be counting on a ton. But if I were the Bills, and I think they will, I would be taking a couple shots at MVS every single game just to keep a defense on their toes, to make them think that, hey, we might beat you over the top. And even if it doesn't work very often, I still think that will give you a little bit of freedom to try and do stuff underneath and to attack the middle of the field. Just having somebody who can really take the top off, and that's what his skill set is going to be. So to me, first thing I noticed when I got out of practice yesterday was that those two receivers were there. And then obviously Cole Bishop is, you know, that's another step in the right direction. I just don't exactly know how we'll see him on the field now that we know DeMar Hamlin is going to start next to Taylor Rapp.
Right. So obviously having a healthy wide receiver core is going to be key, considering all the changes that were made and all the chemistry that needs to be built with that squad and the names that are there right now. But I go right to the safeties, because obviously the big news coming out of that position was DeMar Hamlin and Cole Bishop being a full participant, but we knew he was kind of trending in that direction. Mike Edwards has been a full participant anyway over the last several weeks, but DeMar Hamlin getting the start opposite Taylor Rapp. All right, so from a two-prong standpoint here, let's talk about Edwards and Bishop and where they stand and what kind of their trajectory is here, but really DeMar Hamlin stepping in the starting role here. Let's start with Hamlin, because that was big news coming from Sean McDermott. It could be because of the injuries, right? It could be because of the ramp-up time. We know that. But, man, I'll tell you, Matt, one thing that's happened, and I'm sure you've seen this, Bills fans, there wasn't a great reaction to that news, right? DeMar Hamlin starting. Oh, my God. He's terrible. Did you see what he did in this game or that game? I think there's a way overreaction to this. I'm not telling you DeMar Hamlin is Micah Hyde or Jordan Poyer in their prime. Not at all. But I think DeMar Hamlin might know this defense better than anybody else other than Cam Lewis, who's playing that position. Mm-hmm. And DeMar Hamlin, to me, has had a very steady and sound offseason. Yeah. And this comes down to one word, trust. Mm-hmm. Sean McDermott wants someone who he can trust on the back end to know exactly where to be, how to line people up, the communication that goes along with it. And when you're talking about week one with two new guys who have not been on the field that much during this offseason, that to me is why you get to DeMar Hamlin.
I agree with everything you said, but it is still my biggest area of concern as we get ready for this game and really for the entire season. I think I said it a couple episodes ago, the safety position is bleak right now. I know that they've been getting healthier there, and Mike Edwards is starting to turn a corner, and Cole Bishop is making progress. And I think the long-term outlook for the position might be better than the short-term outlook, but I'm concerned about that position. I think the DeMar Hamlin story is incredible, and what he has been able to accomplish is truly something out of a movie. To go through what he did in Cincinnati and then once again be starting in the NFL. Guess it's not a body double. Guess it's actually DeMar Hamlin who's going to be out on the field playing. So I think it's a really cool story, but I am still very concerned about the safety position. I feel like that is a weakness for this team, even with DeMar Hamlin earning that job over the course of the last month and a half.
I think that's completely fair. Listen, we saw him and who was on the field? Was it Cam Lewis maybe at the time? I couldn't remember, getting beat in Miami a couple of years ago on that deep ball to Jalen Waddle. We saw it in Buffalo in that snow game that same year, a little bit later, because DeMar had to, you know, step up and play. This was, I believe, even before what happened in Cincinnati.
It was, yeah.
I do want to make one thing clear here. This reminds me a bit of the Joe Andreessen kind of arc and story. You said it. What he's done, what he's accomplished, just for him to be on the field is pretty remarkable. Matt, I just want to put to rest anything of they're doing this because of the DeMar Hamlin story. No. I think you agree with me. That is not why DeMar Hamlin's starting. It's a nice way to kind of be, you know, try to give an insult, I guess, if you want, because you don't like him playing. Oh, they're just starting him because of the story. It's a great story, but we're past that. That's not why he's starting. He's starting because Sean McDermott trusts him. I agree with everything you said. The concern, no doubt, until you see it happen again. And you know what's going to happen? if Marvin Harrison Jr. goes over the top and DeMar Hamlin's a little late getting there and he scores a touchdown, you're going to have everyone coming out saying, I told you so, I told you so. And they have every right to do that. There's no doubt about it. I'm not here telling you personally that DeMar Hamlin's going to be an all-pro. That's not at all. I'm telling everybody why the Bills are choosing him to start, and I understand the reasons, even if it actually winds up turning out where maybe he's not the best player for it in the long run. When you say for the week and for the season, I think for the week with DeMar Hamlin, there's a lot of wondering, and that's true. As the season goes on, I am much more confident in Mike Edwards and Cole Bishop getting healthier and playing and doing the job that they expect them to do.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to be writing off DeMar Hamlin before he's even played, because he could have a great game and then he could still continue to earn the starting spot. But I do think that for me, when I heard the news that DeMar Hamlin was playing, the first thing I thought was, I wonder how long it is until Mike Edwards is ready to eventually take that over. And the first guess for me was week three. I was like, listen, you got a really short little condensed spot right here with this game on Sunday and then the Dolphins game coming up next Thursday. Then you got a little bit of extra time. Mike Edwards was banged up basically all summer, and so was Cole Bishop. So for those guys to not be ready right away to start is not an earth-shattering development. It's probably what was the most logical thing to happen, especially because of how much is put on that position in a Sean McDermott and now Bobby Babich defense. DeMar Hamlin knows all that stuff. It's just a matter of, can he actually execute it out on the field? I think he'll do fine, but I do think that there's guys with a higher ceiling, and I think that those guys will eventually be the ones on the field. And I'll say this, I didn't know how they're going to use Cole Bishop. I still think we're going to see him on the field in some capacity these first couple weeks. I think it's kind of trending towards he's got just as real of a shot of winning that as Mike Edwards does. I think for a long time, I thought it was like Mike Edwards and Taylor Rapp, and then you would use Cole Bishop as your guy in a dime package, or maybe you're going to use him in a bunch of other different ways. Like, I think there's a chance Cole Bishop wins that job in a couple weeks.
Okay, I'm going to tee you up here. You ready? I'm going to just put it right on a tee. You're a good golfer.
Yeah.
I'm putting it right on a tee for you. You're going to drive it straight 300 yards right down the middle. How bad would it have to go Sunday for the Bills to pick up the phone and get Micah Hyde in here in the next couple of weeks?
A loss. A loss where their safeties were a big concern. I legitimately, and I know this is the ongoing joke with the podcast and everything, I really do think he's coming back. I just think it's a matter of a matter of when, not a matter of if. I think Micah Hyde will be playing for the Buffalo Bills this year, because right now, and this is a problem, and this is why I think it's the biggest concern for me on the roster, even with all of the neck concerns, even with all the injury history that Micah Hyde has had the last couple years, basically, of his career, I think he would right now be the best safety on the roster. So for me, that's why it's like, okay, what are we waiting for, guys? When are you going to go out and sign them? I think the Bills are very open to it. I think that they are just kind of waiting on Micah Hyde to get a firm answer, and maybe he has told them, I'm not playing a whole year. I'll come back halfway through or whatever it is. But if things are not looking good, I think Micah Hyde gets that call. We're a little bit away from that happening, I think. I think that there will have a longer runway with some of these younger guys and some of these guys who have not really proven that much yet. But yeah, I think Micah Hyde is going to play for this team. I mean, they haven't given out his number. There's a lot of reasons to think that he's coming back. I'll just say that.
I give it a shot that he's back on this team. I don't doubt it for one second. I just think it's not happening anytime soon. Even if it went, I think it would have to go really, really, really drastically wrong on Sunday for that to happen right away. Because I think the Bills, even if DeMar Hamlin doesn't look good, they give up a couple big plays, I think the Bills then shift to, okay, we got to put Mike Edwards and Cole Bishop back there. And they're going to give those guys an opportunity. I do wonder too, and I've said this a couple times in the pod, and I'm wondering from you, how much, because you mentioned it, the game on Thursday, five nights later, matters. Is it maybe possible that, hey, we just want to do some load management here, and that's when you're going to see more of Bishop and Edwards? Is actually that game instead of the third week, if that makes sense, because they don't want to have anything happen before a division game on the road five nights later?
Yeah, I mean, it's a totally reasonable thing. I know Sean McDermott, he was asked a question specifically about the Dolphins yesterday on Wednesday, and he poured cold water on it and was like, I'm not talking about that game. I'm focusing on Arizona, which I truly believe they are from a game plan standpoint. But I'm sure their trainers and their medical staff are saying, like, hey, Sean, like, these guys, they're going to be able to play, but I don't know how ready they're going to be. they're going to be closer to being ready a couple days later. And then that's why, like, okay, well, then maybe they could have a bigger role in Miami. I think that this is a DeMar, you're starting. We believe in you. It is your job to lose. And if things go okay to good, then he will continue to be doing that job until things take a turn. If they never take a turn, I think DeMar is going to be there for a while. But if they aren't getting the level of play that they're anticipating, I think the first man off the bench would be Mike Edwards. And then I think the same thing could be said about Cole Bishop after that, where Mike Edwards will come in, and if he's doing a good job, they'll keep him there, and they'll use Cole Bishop all over the place. And if things don't go well there, then Cole Bishop will come in. And that's all assuming Taylor Rapp is just healthy and ready to go and playing good football, because he's another factor here. It's not like, to me, Taylor Rapp's job is completely safe. This is not a situation where, like, this guy is absolutely, you know, write it in permanent marker, the starting safety. I think he is for now, but I think that they could get more production or a better play out of somebody else. Maybe not this year, but certainly down the road.
One injury to kind of wrap up this segment on is Mitch Trubisky. Good news, he was limited. The Bills still will have to make a decision if he is healthy enough to be their backup quarterback on Sunday. They could elevate Mike White to be the backup quarterback. This is something to watch here over the weekend. All right. The other big bit of news for the Bills coming out of Wednesday's practice was right before practice, the captains.